Good morning and welcome here. It's great to see you all. Presumably a few more will trickle in once we start singing, once we sing everybody in. So we're going to start. We have a lot of singing this morning, so we're only going to have one gathering song. But it is a good one. Come, now is the time to worship. I invite you to stand as you're able. I'll just note that there's a four-bar intro at the beginning, and I'll bring you in then. So stand as you're able. Number 29, if you're looking in the hymnal. Come, now is the time to worship. Please be seated.
Good morning. I would like to invite everyone to prepare your hearts, mind, and body for worship. We're going to have a short grounding mindfulness heart meditation, and I'd like to invite the children as well. Children, you can do this. All of us can do it. Mindfulness is a presence-centered and not-judging awareness. I invite you to allow for natural connectedness and intimacy with God, with ourselves, with others, and with creation. Please take a moment to make sure you feel comfortable in your chair and let your hands and feet be comfortable in a position that feels natural to you. Go ahead, and if you feel safe, close your eyes and allow that simple act to signal that you are choosing to turn your attention away from the other world and spend some time in quiet contemplation. Take a nice deep breath in and become aware of the air filling your lungs. And as you let that breath go out, notice the release and allow yourself to be relaxed. Take another deep breath in Be aware of the air filling your lungs. And as you exhale, practice being fully present, right here, right now, in this space. One more time, take a deep breath in. Hold it. And gentle, let it go. Allow yourself to be open. Open to receive whatever it comes. And there is not right or wrong. Continue to be aware of your breathing. Steady and natural. And with each gentle exhale, let go and simply be here. Now shift your attention to your heart area. And if you like, put your heart on that area. And feel the gentle rhythm of your heart beating. Notice the miracle of that movement. You don't have to make it. It simply beats, sustaining you. With the next inhale, imagine a light in that heart, in your heart. This is the light of Christ within you. Steady, warm, eternal. Christ is within you. Christ is within us. Christ is in creation. With every breathing, imagine that light expanding in your heart. And as you exhale, radiate that light around you, shining to other ones. Now, with the next breath, I invite you to imagine Jesus whispering to you in your heart, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Feel these words. Let them land in your mind. Feel them. Holy God, we thank you for this breath. We thank you for our heartbeat. We thank you for the light of Christ within us. As we begin this service, we lift our hearts to praise you as the source of all life. By your Holy Spirit, keep us open to your presence in your love among us and within us, now and to the end of the time. Amen. So we already say good morning, but I will say good morning again and welcome. Welcome to our worship here at Toronto United Mennonite Church on this Mother's Day Sunday. My name is Jackie Schmacher, and I'm very grateful and joyful to gather with you in this sacred space and time. Whether you are joining us in person or online, we are grateful you are here. As a community, we believe that every person reflects the image of God. Our life together is enriched by the diversity we share, so we welcome people of all background, belief, and doubts. And we welcome also your stories, your hopes, your questions. And we trust that here you will find a gracious and wonderful space to belong. Today, on Mother's Day, we recognize that this brings a mix of emotions, from joy to lament. No matter your story, you are seen and you are welcome. If you are joining us for the first time this morning, we are glad you are here. If you like to If you like and you feel comfortable, please raise your hand and an usher will bring you a microphone. And for those online, we invite you to share your name in the chat so we can welcome you as well. And be aware, there is not pressure, okay? So is anyone new today? And of course, we have new people this morning because this is a special day. Yes, Jonathan? An usher, please, bring microphone.
Hi, I'm Jonathan. Just about fell over. As you can probably tell, I'm being joined by my family. So my dad and my mom, my brother, his partner Elle, my twin Sarah, and their partner Aiden.
Welcome. Anyone else? Do we have anyone online? Okay. Welcome. After the service, please join us for coffee and tea or tea, and also for cupcakes that Carol Rinning brought for us and for everyone to share. So thank you for that, Carolyn. That's a very thoughtful day. And today is a special day for our community. We gathered to celebrate and witnessed a significant milestone in Jonathan Reed's faith journey, his baptism. Many of you already know him as a friendly face up front, one who embodies scripture and dedicated role model who serves as a youth sponsor and teaches junior youth alongside with Pastor Peter and Joel. While he has served for us for a long time, Jonathan is now making that commitment official through baptism. In our Mennonite tradition, baptism is more than a ritual. It's a public declaration of faith, a conscious decision to continue following Jesus and fully commit to this church community. Jonathan, we are so honored to witness this step with you. As a part of today's service, Jonathan will share his faith journey, followed by words of recommendation from his faith faith partner, Brad Leb. And
so it's been a while since we've done, we sometimes have a tradition where we sort of greet each other, pass the peace of Christ, things like that. So I thought we'd do that again, but with a twist. We're going to do it with a song this time. So we're going to sing, and appropriately this song comes from South Africa, where you do all these kinds of things together, right? Like you can sing for offering, you can sing for all kinds of things. So we're going to sing for our greeting each other, and it's a great song, God Welcomes All. I'm not sure if we've done it, so it's a new song too, just to sort of keep things a bit lively. So Audrey's going to play it through once. It's very simple. You'll pick it up, no problem. Audrey's going to play it through once, then I'm going to play, then we'll sing it together once, and then I want you to get up and go around and start greeting each other, and we'll just sing it as many times as we need to, till you can greet enough people. And then at some point, we'll switch. The second verse is just amen, amen, amen. So when we switch to the amen verse, then you know that we're kind of wrapping up and you can head back to your seats. You got it? That's pretty straightforward. Okay. So here we are. God welcomes all. And just to get yourself ready, why don't you stand up already? Get ready to move. So well, yeah, clap and stuff too. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. As we continue in worship both here and in our online community, we take a moment to ground ourselves in the places where we gathered, while you're choosing this reflection on the land acknowledgement to share with you, I realize that the words themselves are not the only part of this. For me, what truly matters is how we receive them and our awareness to reality of indigenous people in their past, present, and future. Each of us is invited to be conscious of these land acknowledgments and to state them with honesty and integrity. And as John Sherman and Anashave, mother and storyteller, wrote, land acknowledgments are living entities formed by sacred breath that should be spoken from the heart and reflect humility, gratitude, respect, and responsibility towards place, fire, water, and earth. They should speak of our honest, traditional, accurate recognition of our kinship with the land. If you are a guest on traditional lands that First Nations, Inuits, and Métis called home for thousands of years, your acknowledgement should demonstrate respect and gratitude towards these peoples for the way they lived and continue to live in nature. So this morning, we acknowledge that the land on which we are gathering in the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe, Haudenosaunee, Wendat people, we paid our respect to the First Nations, Inuit and Métis peoples who have lived in relationship with this land for thousands of years and who continue to do so. As a faith community, we seek to abide in God's love and embody Christ's peace. We at TOMC have been exploring reconciled relationship in recent years. This year, our congregation is engaging in the financial component of the Indigenous Solidarity by supporting Toronto's Native Men's Residency, who provides essential housing, healthcare, and cultural support for the Indigenous men in our city. We may remain mindful of our complicity and continue the work of restoration we had begun, walking in humility and in the right relationship until all is made whole again. And we now continue with the hymn. I'm going to continue with the announcements. TOMC is a busy and vibrant community with tons of activities for all, offering many ways to connect, to grow, and to serve together. You will see many of our upcoming events on the screen, so please take a moment to read them. So just to highlight a few, next Sunday is not going to be Sunday formation. And then on May 24 is an important date because not only did Grades 4 and 8 have lunch and games at Audrey's and Jess House, but also it's because it's the last day to register to the Silver Lake Retreat. So please remember that. In addition to what is on the screen, we also have a few announcements that are best shared in person, and I will start. As I spoke earlier about committing ourselves to reconciliation and move from works into actions, it's by attending the POW, the traditional POW, and this is a wonderful change to celebrate Indigenous culture and resilience through drumming, dancing, and community connection. It's going to happen on June 13th. It's a long ways to go yet, but we like to start with that, start putting the seed in there in your minds. It's at noon and the Dufferin and Grove Park. Now I'd like to invite those who have an announcement.
I just wanted to take a moment to thank the people on behalf of Melina Jansen and myself, the people that came out yesterday for the spring cleanup. We did a lot of raking, cleaning, sweeping, minor repairs and stuff like that, and had a bit of a small turnout, but got a lot done. So thanks to all that came out.
Just a small correction to the announcement slide. It's actually grade 4 to 12 at my house on May 24th.
As you saw in the announcements from the Gift Discernment Committee, as a priesthood of all believers, we believe that God speaks to everyone in the community. And so as a community, we discern who we would like to be part of our preaching team. So the preaching team is a group of four or five that preach about four times a year and meet and help discern the themes and topics for what you hear on our worship mornings. We have three spaces for discernment, and I'm also pleased to share that the current occupants are willing to have their name stand for another term. That's Haven Clausen, Lori Unger, and Tim Schmucker. So you can either email me your thoughts, or there's a small little square piece of paper that Harold will hand out. If you haven't completed one yet, you can put up your hand and he'll hand you one. And there's a little plate at the back that you can leave them for, or you can email me, bradlepp@gmail.com. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to let you know, every Friday we receive detailed announcement by email on everything what's happening in Tomsey and our surroundings. Please take a moment to read them, and if you are not receiving the email and would like to, please contact administration at administrator@tomsey.ca.
Relatively recent tradition at Tomsey, but one that I love, is that whenever somebody joins our church, we sing one of their favorite songs in the service, and this is Jonathan's. And so I won't put you on the spot to come and say why it's your favorite song, but I could tell you all kinds of reasons why I love it. But anyways, we're going to sing it. I Saw a Tree by the Riverside. Do you want us to do the actions, Jonathan? You don't know the action? Oh, do we need somebody to come and do? Does anybody want to come and do the actions for this one? It really helps to have actions. Some of the kids do, right? I see some hands, fingers pointing. If anybody wants to come and do actions, you can come and do it. It really is a lot better than actions. I'm not going to pressure anybody, but you can do it. Okay, here we go. I saw a tree. Amen. Lovely job. You may be seated.
Now we get to find out how quickly I can find the Gospel of Matthew. Found it right away. Is it? No, it's all good. This is Matthew chapter 18, verses 1-5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child, whom he put among them, and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me."
As we enter this time of offering, we reflect on the spirit of giving. At Tomsey, we call our offerings giving with gratitude, in recognition that all our gifts, whether our time, talents, or money, are worth it and come from God. When we give, we partner with God ahead to heal brokenness and spread hope, both in our neighborhood and across the globe. Thank you. Whatever you give, these acts of love sustain this house and support our ministry. Our deepest thanks, already was saying that yesterday to the volunteers that came yesterday and dedicated their time and cleaning to maintaining our church space. Also, very thank you to those who, along with me, got together this service. Jason on the tech, Audrey and Jeff, Christina and Peter, and everyone else. And also for the prayers, which is important. Prayers are important. It holds us, especially in the time when we, as a worship leaders, are here in front of you and in front of God, of course. We invite you to give as you are called. To support our work financially, you may send an e-transfer to treasure@tonsi.ca or place your gift in the box at the back. Let's pray together. Creator of lives, blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. We give thanks, this offering in gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of your gifts to you. We give these offerings in faith, trusting that you will provide for our needs, in hope, knowing that your Spirit leads us to use them to spread your regime of love, justice, harmony, connection, knowledge, justice. In Jesus Christ, amen.
A simple offering song, "Take, O Take Me As I Am." We'll sing it three times.
Take, oh, take me as I am.
God be with us on our journey. Audrey will play it once, and then we'll sing the three verses.
Has come. I'd like to invite here is Brad, faith partner, and Jonathan, and they will share, as I mentioned it before, their faith journey and testimony and the words of recommendation.
Good morning. That guy with the dog. It is easy to write off that charismatic young man who has been coming to our church for the last number of years, months, and always seems to have a gaggle of young people hanging off his every word and every limb. Everyone loves dogs, right? You would think perhaps that Delta is Jonathan's superpower. I don't think so. You see, I've had the opportunity over the past number of months to get to connect with Jonathan, and I have come to the conclusion that he has three superpowers hidden under his unassuming, chill demeanor. I will share them with you. The first is the power of yes. I am sometimes envious of free spirits, but there is power in putting your hand up, for stepping forward and saying yes. It is the same power that might lead a person to hitchhike across France, or bike across Canada for 6 months, or find themselves stranded in Guatemala. He has a policy of saying yes. If someone has made the effort of inviting him to something, he will absolutely be there unless he's previously said yes to something else. He is game. When so many of us hum and haw and check our calendars and mitigate, he is committed and present, which of course has a contagious effect, which leads me to a second power. The power of showing up. It is no secret that Jonathan is a people person. Being among people, sharing their interests, appreciating the world and all its adventures is life-giving to him, fuel for his work and curiosity. The idea of doing something half-heartedly is a foreign concept. Why does he hang out with young people? Because frankly, they do things. They're active, they invite him, and he shows up for them. And they see that, they feel that, and they respond in kind. That could be checking in with each other, asking the right question, and actually listening to the response. But being present, IRL, especially when so much of his work is done online and through platforms, is something that he is intentional about baking into his relationships. And as adults, I know I don't always embody that in a way that I want to pass along to the next generation. The third is the power of being authentic. As you might expect from someone whose middle name is Comfort, Jonathan's presence is rooted and grounded in wherever he finds himself. He is a thoughtful person, of a practical spirituality, of a creed that is generous. He appreciates the tough questions of his faith, but complex doesn't need to be complicated. But it does need to be encompassing and inclusive. He knows how his tendencies towards restlessness and perfectionism sometimes work to sabotage his own best efforts, sometimes, and is mindful of his own growth and work. He is not afraid of acts that even he might find exposing or vulnerable. That's not because he doesn't feel those things, he does, but he doesn't let the fear define the decisions. He lives his values on his sleeve or on his bike, as the case may be, choosing the hard things, but refusing to see them as hard. They are life-giving things. Growing up, he always belonged to his church community, almost by default. His brother, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather were all ministers in the United Church. Belonging was a given, so within that space, he had the freedom to push or prod, explore, and invent what role he saw himself playing. When he landed in Toronto shortly after the pandemic, he tried different churches. He discovered Tumsi through the Cahoots Festival and first came to Tumsi on a gathering Sunday, which, whoa, that is a way to get a lot of us all at once. But as he got to know us over time, he discovered that he had already made a commitment emotionally. And if you're committed, you're all in. You put that commitment into practice, and we have quickly become the beneficiaries of that in many places. He has chosen us, and like how he does everything, that involves jumping in with 2 feet, saying yes, showing up, and being authentic with us. Giving generously of his time with youth and young and junior youth, getting interested in what they are interested in, investing in them as whole people. He prompts us as a community and has hopes and dreams for how we can do better, which tells me he is interested in a long-term relationship. Which leads us to this morning. In some ways, a confirmation of that commitment that is already in place, but also a commitment of reciprocal care, of renewing belonging by choice, and a commitment from all of us that we will jump in with a yes, that we will show up at times and in ways that he might need it. 3 superpowers. It turns out that Delta, with his keen senses, might be very aware of seeing all this in Jonathan and so has chosen to go along for the ride. And perhaps we should all be so lucky. And so it is my pleasure to recommend Jonathan for baptism upon his confession of faith, and to accept him as a member of this church community.
A word of advice is, if you know you're going to speak at the same time as someone who's a theater major, volunteer to speak first. I also was in London this week and didn't have a computer adapter, so I wrote my notes, and my writing will take me on a journey at this time. As Brad mentioned, I grew up in the United Church of Canada. You know, I started writing down the memories of childhood in the church, and it was a bit of a flood, you know. I'm sure my twin would remember, like, laughing so hard with our cousin that we got in trouble, pretending to be ninjas that nobody could see. I remember being in charge of finding the watering can for the Christmas tree and the purpose that I felt. Like, and I have no idea how old I was, right? But I remember that. I remember being Peter in a Pentecost time presentation and singing a solo in front of the church. And all of these memories just sort of are like a wash and are inseparable from my childhood in a lot of ways. I do know that I did back then the one thing that children do. I'm kind of curious what mothers will think of this, but I wrote down, I did the one thing, the most frustrating and amazing thing that kids do. I took it for granted. In high school, my time in the church was defined by participating in the wider church community. So being part of youth conference gatherings, and other, you know, church sleepovers and those kinds of things. And, you know, we fundraised for mission projects. We sang John Mayer in front of a bunch of adults who were perplexed. You know, but hanging out with friends, again, I took that programming for granted. It was mine. Starting in university, it's funny, like on one hand, I look back and think I stepped away from the church and stepped away from God in a lot of ways. I moved around a lot. So I was in Kingston, I was in France, I was in Colorado, in Indonesia. I moved to British Columbia, like Brad said, hitchhiked and bicycled my way through life. And again, I tried different church communities here and there and nothing really stuck. And when I think back on that time and how God was moving in my life, I've talked about this in this church before, actually, the strangers that I met along the way were there again and again and again. So again, like I've talked about, this guy on a motorcycle on a rainy night in France near Lyon, the grandmother who rescued me from the cliffs of Normandy, the Beaufort, the Besancon family, the cousin in Euclid. Looking back, it's interesting to try to wrap my head around the lack of vulnerability that I felt moving out at age 16 and moving to a different continent at age 18 and just stepping into the world with the, again, that sort of, we could call it naive trust of a child that everything is going to be okay. And I kind of took God's protection for granted. And I had my fair share of scrapes and mishaps and setbacks and that kind of thing, but it was always the degree to which I could explain, well, I would have been fine anyway, right? Or this worked out and that, and you know, and this kind of piece. But as I started to work in my career of working with vulnerable youth, I started to see God in a different way and to rely on God in a different way. It's kind of hard to know exactly what to say in front of a group of several generations, but just to say, working with young people who are talking about suicide, who are experiencing that level of worthlessness and struggle in their lives, it's actually kind of funny. This is the second time I've spoken in the church, and the second time that, by happenstance, the song that accompanied the message really fit, because I actually wrote down word for word, God be with us. Because I had to struggle, I had to figure out how to navigate that. God be with this kid, because I can't be with him, right? God be with me as I walk alongside him. And it was in the midst of navigating this collision of brokenness and purpose side by side that I started engaging with Cahoots Festival and was brought to Tumsi through my connections of Catherine Gray and Peter Hairsnape. And then there's this growing reliance on the congregation, and I didn't ask for permission to say this, but it's nothing super vulnerable, that, for example, when my car broke down on the 404, I called Audrey, right? When I needed a miter saw to finish a construction project, I called Jay. When Delta was in trouble and I needed someone to pick us up, I called Karen, right? And I could think of person after person after person. Relying on people and also relying on prayer. When I started talking through this with Brad, I had kind of got it in my head that I was turning a new chapter, and it's kind of like the ever-going journey of like someone in their 20s and 30s to be like, well, now I'm an adult. I found myself thinking, okay, well, now I'm intentionally choosing the church, and it's this new thing, and I found myself looking back on my experience in the church and realizing, it's back to that childhood sense of taking it for granted. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Like Brad mentioned, like the kids in this congregation take it for granted that I'm interested in what books they're reading, you know, or what movies are in their top favorite movies or what video games they're playing. It's just sort of assumed that I'm interested and I am. But could there be a greater privilege in the world than trusting in the love of someone else so much that you can just take it for granted, right? Could there be anything greater than feeling such a strong sense of belonging that you never have to question it. When I think about myself as a young person, like, I basically gave nothing because I had nothing, and I also gave everything, right, in terms of my time and attention and sincerity to my church, but also to the people around me. And in that experience of knowing and experiencing that love is not earned, love is just there. That to me is the great gift of being part of a church and to be part of a relationship with God. You know, because taking something for granted brings it back to trust. That's what it is. Taking something for granted is actually trust. And I was able to trust in my childhood church community. I was able to trust in my teenage friends, to be able to trust in those strangers in the world around me, and to trust in a God and a church that's both present in my life and in my work.
Hello, hello. I'm going to ask the kids to come and join me here at the front. I just have a little bit of setup here to do. I'm going to put this towel here, okay, Annika? All right. So, Maggie, can you help give me a hand? Can you go get those paints without spilling them? And put them on this towel, please. Just right on that towel beside Aiden. Yeah. And then Peter, if you could grab me that water. Thanks, Maggie. You get the hard job. And just put it beside the paint. So I'll tell you what's happening with the paint in a moment. Thanks. But first I want to tell you about why we do what we're doing. Hello. When Jesus was about 30 years old, he left his hometown of Nazareth, and he traveled to a really special river called the Jordan River. Now, there was a man named John the Baptist who was baptizing people there. And people came to say sorry for the wrong things that they had done and to recommit themselves to doing what God wanted them to do. And so Jesus walked up and John saw him and he recognized Jesus as the Son of God. So John knew something when he saw something special was happening when Jesus was walking up. And John says to Jesus, "Why have you come to be baptized by me when you are so much greater than I am?" And Jesus said, "I want to be baptized because it is part of God's plan." So John believed Jesus' words and took Jesus into the river and baptized him. And something very interesting happened. When Jesus was baptized, the clouds opened up in the sky and a dove flew down and landed on Jesus' head. Can you imagine? And a voice spoke from the clouds and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So what voice do you think that was speaking? Yeah, Eli. God's voice. Yeah. So that must have been quite a miraculous, quite a miraculous sight. So Jesus was baptized as a symbol of his love for God, and so that's why some of us decide to be baptized as well. And that's what we're going to see Jonathan do. So when we're done this story in a little bit, I'm going to ask you to stay up here so that you can have a front row view to the baptism, because it's pretty cool to watch. Now, each one of us is unique. You know that you're all special, right? You're each your own person. You each have your own name. And did you all know that you each have your own fingerprint that is different from anybody else's fingerprint? So what I did was I bought some non-toxic washable paint. You're welcome, parents. And I've opened them here. And what I'm going to ask you to do is take your index finger and just dab it in one of the colors that you like, just one color, okay? And you're going to stamp this card that we're going to give to Jonathan. Okay, and I'm going to put this card at the back of the church later during coffee time, and any of the adults who want to stamp it can also stamp it. So that's our signature saying, Jonathan, we love you, congratulations, welcome to becoming or continuing to become a part of our church. Okay, so let's take turns one at a time. I have a towel here. And you can come and put your finger, Tasha's going to show us how to do it. And then there's a bowl of water here. Just fingerprint anywhere on here. Wow. Yep, and it's like your signature. Great. And there's a towel and some water. So come on up. Let's try to get it done pretty quick. Here. Okay. So do it. You only need a tiny little bit of paint. Yep. Just a little bit of paint. But you know, I bet it does. Jonathan will like the mess. It doesn't matter. Just one. Okay, now put your... Okay, that's great. Okay, have you done it already, Annika? Thank you. Okay. Everybody gets a turn. All right. Hi, Bastian. Would you like to try? Do you want to put your finger? Okay, as soon as you're ready. As soon as you've done it, back off, okay? So that everybody can get a chance. Okay, we're just doing it once. Would you like to do it? Michaela, would you like to come in?
What's up there?
Here, okay. Mom, here you go.
What's up there?
Oh, team, if you had a chance. There we go. Thank you. Oh, you've already got one. We need one fingerprint because we don't have lots and lots of space. Okay, why don't you come and wash your hands right here? There you go. Okay. Okay. Do you want to do it? Did you do it already? Okay. Come on in, Sebastian and Maggie. Let's keep moving. Okay. So as soon as you've done your washing, just go back a little bit so that everybody gets a chance. Okay. Yeah, you did it already. There you go. Nice bright colors. I love it. So we're going to have to keep this open. Nobody, if you see this card, don't close it or else all the paint is going to come off. You guys are doing great. All right, Naomi, jump in here. I think we're almost done. Okay. There you go. Thank you. You want to come in? Do you want to do it? You did it already? Okay. Thanks, everyone. So have a seat. Stay here, and we are going to get set up for the baptism ritual. And... Maggie, do you want to help me one more time and just bring the paints back? No. Yeah, sure. So we'll invite Jonathan and Brad to come up here with us. Not yet. So I hope you can all hear me. Jonathan, you have requested baptism. In preparation for this event, we have talked about the meaning of baptism and a lot more. Baptism is a symbol of commitment to Jesus that you have already made. It is a public declaration of what you have already experienced personally. You have shared your faith story with us today. But now, even while we know that questions of faith are neither simple nor clear, we want to again give you the opportunity to confess your faith at this next step on your journey. So I will ask you a series of questions, and I invite you to respond with, "I do." You're very tall. You're fine. Do you believe in God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, in Jesus Christ, God's love incarnate, and the Holy Spirit, giver of life?
I do.
Do you wish to commit your life to God, trusting in God's grace and love?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as Redeemer, committing to live your life as his disciple? Following Christ's way of peace, do you wish to live without giving in to violence, resisting what is evil, and taking risks for what is good? Do you now desire to be baptized upon your confession of faith? O God, creator of all things visible and invisible, we give you thanks for the gift of Jonathan's life and for your presence in it. We thank you that he is and always has been your beloved child. Loving Christ, we ask you to guide him as he journeys in faith. Holy Spirit, moving in and around us, strengthen him so that he may always trust your presence and your love. We pray that Jonathan may be a blessing in our community and in our world. We pray for your blessing on him today. Jonathan, upon your confession of faith, I baptize you with water. In the name of God, the Father and Mother, Creator of the universe. In the name of Jesus Christ, love incarnate. And in the name of the Holy Spirit, breath of life. May God baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jonathan, in the name of Christ and the Church, I give you my hand and bid you to walk in the newness of life. So now we're going to see a slide with congregational response. I will be the leader and you will be the congregation. Before us today, Jonathan has witnessed to his faith and now offers himself as a companion in our allegiance to Christ. As we receive you into the fellowship of the church, we make this covenant with you. We renew our commitment to God, to bear each other's burdens, to assist in times of need, to share our gifts and possessions, to forgive as Christ has forgiven us, to support each other in joy and sorrow, and in all things to work for the common good. We open ourselves to fellowship with you in worship, study, service, and discipline. We joyfully accept you as partner, both in the care of our spiritual family and in our mission to the world. In your coming to us, we are newly summoned to become a community in which the wholeness of Christ is realized. It is our privilege and joy to welcome you into our family of faith.
And as always, after baptisms and membership, our song of response, Obey My Voice. We keep singing it even though it's not our hymnal anymore, but I think we know it. So join me, Obey My Voice.
(Clears throat) Gomez Adams is a member of the Adams family. Originally a newspaper cartoon, filmed for TV and cinema in the last century. In the films I remember from my childhood, he's portrayed by the Puerto Rican actor Raul Julia. And in recent years, this character has become something of an icon of positive masculinity. His fans note that Gomez wakes up every morning thrilled to be alive. He is thrilled to be a man. He is delighted by his tall, spooky wife and his gruesome children, his shambling mansion and his weird family tree. He is excited for what the day holds, a sword fight with his accountant, where he will lavish affection on everyone he meets. Gomez Adams fully immerses himself in life. He is never bored. Whatever he does completely, whether parenting his children, serenading his wife, playing with his train set, welcoming strangers like they were old friends. He reminds me of the portrait that Jesus paints of the prodigal father, who throws away his dignity, his inhibitions, and his pride to welcome his beloved son home. He reminds me of Jesus placing a child in front of his disciples as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. To welcome such a person is to welcome the fullness of God. To become like a child is to seek the kingdom of heaven. There are worse role models than Gomez Adams, who follows his heart after delight. Now, we would like to think that we would welcome God's new reality. We would run out to meet it. We would spend everything we have to buy the field that hides such treasure. And we do yearn for God's reign, the one alternative to the despair and treachery of this present age. But it is hard to live your life with the intensity of Gomez Adams. It is hard to sacrifice the safety and grandeur of adulthood to take the place of a child. But this intense and unwavering yes is the path. However it is that we know God first and foremost in the person of Jesus, the Word made flesh, Lady Wisdom incarnate. And Jesus is a dive right in sort of person. The incarnation of Jesus is God diving into their creation, agreeing to all the terms and conditions of a mortal life, a life full of laughter and tears, family and intimacy, a life of moral challenge and social constriction, a life with the potential to change the plane of reality. In other words, the very human life that we are all learning to live within. Jesus dives right into his baptism. John has been calling the people to turn their ways around by offering them the symbol of baptism, and Jesus seeks to begin his ministry with this sacred immersion into the waters of the Jordan River. Now, this river is the boundary between the wilderness where God taught the formerly enslaved Hebrews how to be free. God taught their generation to rely on the ever-generous, ever-present spirit of life, to let go of the ways of domination and control that slavery had taught them. And in the epic past of the nation of Israel, the community crossed the River Jordan to enter into the land of their promise. Of course, nothing is ever as simple as crossing a river. Violence followed. Entering into a place of empire and following the directions of their fierce desert god, the people left behind bodies and ruins and deserted streets, resisting the temptations of power by killing those who were ensnared in domination. It is a hard question. There are many ways to try to answer it. Our way is Jesus. Like his ancestors, he approached the Jordan River. He humbly submitted himself to John, and in he dived, immersing himself in the land itself, in all of its stories and its pain and its unresolved questions. And then he emerged, and he dove right into the wilderness, a 40-day retreat to bring him into alignment with God. And then he emerged, and he threw himself into ministry. Now, unfortunately for the metaphor of Jesus diving in, after this point, he mostly seems to walk on the water, and he leaves the swimming to others. But I hope you've gotten the point. Through his incarnation, Jesus said the largest possible yes to human being. And violence followed. But this time, the uselessness of violence was shown for all time in his broken body. And today we see that useless violence still against the bodies of the poor and the small and the defamed. When Jesus taught his disciples to welcome children, when he showed them that the child was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he was continuing this great movement of leaping in and within and down and into. Jesus tells us that he is the child, the prisoner, the outcast, the hungry, and that we can meet him and give him honor only through these neglected and unseen individuals. But there is one more movement to consider. After descending down into our persons and our struggles, into the grave, into the waters, Jesus rose again to new life. And when we baptize a fellow child of God, we witness them not just immerse themselves in the true, authentic life on earth, but we speak our trust in God to raise them up and to raise all of creation so that no one remains disenfranchised, under-resourced, hungry, or afraid. Imagine a world where we could all take that for granted. In the choice to seek baptism, we step down into the flowing story of faith, trusting in God to raise us up. You don't need a theology degree to say yes to God, yes to life, yes to the unending adventure of living meaningfully in a world of misunderstanding and petty cruelty. Life is for loving. Just ask Gomez Adams. Amen.
And in response, we sing a song of rising from the waters of baptism. From the waters I will rise to walk and sing and dream and live with Christ. So I invite you to stand to sing. Stand as you're able to sing, "From the waters I will rise." There is a rather long introduction. I will bring you in when we start singing.
Living God, as we go forth into the world, we offer you our open hearts and willing spirits. Immerse us again in the grace of baptism. Help us commit every day to you, not just in words, but in the joyful, bold actions of our lives. Let your joy and your love be our strength through the power of the Spirit and in Jesus Christ. Thanks to be the Lord. Amen. Go in peace.